Welcome back, Mighty Vandals, to Tubs of the Club, your big University of Idaho affiliate on the Big Sky Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brian Marceau, joined today, hey, as always, holding it down in Moscow. One of our dudes holding it down in Moscow today. He's the producer. He does something else I'm not allowed to talk about, and it irritates the shit out of me that I can't say it. But anyway, Martin, how's it going, man? Holding it down in the background.
It's going good. It's had another little bit of snow this morning in Moscow, but it's another fun day in Moscow, another almost time for Big Sky in Boise.
So you guys may notice Dallas Hammer not here. Martin, you of course know where Dallas is.
At another Nickelback concert in Hawaii, I believe, maybe.
Yeah, which is about the only place. Seriously, when Dallas misses shows here, he's almost exclusively at Nickelback concerts, which, hey, speaking of things that irritate the shit out of me, I've got to get my verbal tick established early. Is, come on, Dallas, helping out. How are you helping out the show at Nickelback? We can't write that expense off. But anyway, in place, we have, I'm not going to allow Patty to introduce himself as the host of the Eagle Power Hour because I don't care what he says. I don't care what the pictures in the background of his dorm say, or you're in your dorm, right, Patty?
I'm in the apartment in Moscow. Close enough.
My bad. I don't care what the pictures say in the background. Patty, you are a vandal. And I don't know if I'm the bearer of bad news with this, but that's what you are. So you're on the Vandal Show. Patty Frakes, how's it going?
Oh, Vandals. I hate you guys. I knew it was coming too. Man, I never see it coming until like I just see the screen change and I'm like, why did I not see it coming? And I regret saying that so much. But anyways, doing all right. I am sick and tired of the cold and the snow. And this morning it was very cold. So I'm ready for spring. But yeah, I'm doing all right in Moscow.
Did you not see that coming either?
I did not see that coming. It was like 40 to 45 degrees like 2 days ago. It was so nice.
Just unpredictable day in Patty's apartment right now. So look, hey, the big news that we have to talk about, guys, it's weird to say this, Martin. We're this deep into basketball season. There's three regular season games left. We're talking men's basketball at the moment. Three regular season games left. And this is essentially our first solely basketball episode. There's no volleyball news as we're recording on February 27th, which, hey, if that means if it drops, we might have an out of nowhere episode this week. Based off our sources, the report's supposed to be in hand pretty quick, but no volleyball news. We covered football stuff. I mean, the gala, VSF gala was in Boise by all accounts. It was a kick-ass affair. Tubbs of the Club patron, Nick Davis, MVP of the gala. He does metal and woodwork. He does exclusively kick-ass stuff. If you ever received a Tubbs of the Club magnet, that's a Nick Davis creation. Nick Davis made the centerpieces at the gala, also had a couple individual pieces. His work alone sold for over $10,000. And I'm just going to say this in case we have any people who work in the Vandal world listening. Nick Davis needs tickets to the upper box for the donations he does. He's been doing this for years. He needs better perks than a meal paid for. He absolutely deserves it. But anyway, by all accounts, gala raised a ton of money. So, hey, that's our football news. But it's all basketball. And hey, there's two games to update you guys on for Idaho basketball, which, it was an up and down week. So Idaho on Thursday drops. Look, they got their ass kicked by Northern Colorado, which, spoiler alert, Northern Colorado is the worst matchup for Idaho in the Big Sky. That's just how it's going to be. Northern Colorado kicked Idaho's ass in Moscow. Well, in Greeley, they did the exact same thing. The Bears beat the Vandals 76-62. The Bears were led by St. Thomas with 20 points and 8 assists. St. Thomas, if he's not going to be the Big Sky player of the year, he's for sure going to be first team all league. And Idaho in this game, paced by Quinn Danker, we talked last week how Danker had a pretty rough couple games. We talked about last week. Yeah, Danker for sure recovered. He led Idaho 23 points, 8-16 from the field, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, led Idaho in every major in all those three statistical categories. Danker led Idaho. So Idaho then goes to Northern Arizona. Northern Arizona, a team Idaho is competing with to try to knock off for to move out of the bottom four seeding in the Big Sky Conference tournament. The Vandals avenge an early season loss to NAU, which hit the early season loss in Moscow was 75-60. To me, that was easily the low point of the Idaho season. But in Flagstaff, Idaho ups at the time, you'd call this kind of an upset, beats Northern Arizona 86-76, again, paced by Quinn Danker, 20 points on 7-15 shooting. Terran Frank added 8 rebounds, and Quinn Danker led the team with 7 assists. In addition to Danker's output in the NAU game, we had 7 Vandals who scored 7 or more points, including 4 Vandals scoring in double figures, Julius Mims, 15 points, EJ Neal, 14 points, and best game of the season, Tekai Hardy, 10 points off the bench for Idaho. So, hey, that's the two games. We're going to talk about the takeaways of the two games individually. But first, Patty, this was kind of monumental, which is a little bit generous. But you have not been a Vandal for that long. The last time Idaho had a winning record was at the end of the season, because Idaho's not going to have they're not going to finish over 500. It's going to be 6 years ago. Idaho hit their 11th win with that win over NAU. The Vandals now sit at 11-17 on the season, 5-10 in Big Sky play. Not saying that's not the home run that Jason next season was, of course. Idaho still in 9th place in the Big Sky right now, above Sacramento State, 1 game behind NAU, 1.5 behind Portland State, to be number 8-7 in the conference, but big deal. Alex Pribble has officially eclipsed the record Zach Kloss set during his 4 years at Idaho, 10 wins last season. It's one of the many boxes that we're going to check, because this is a season of moral victory, guys. Everyone's used to it. Just buckle up, enjoy the ride for year one. Patty, take it away. And there's Martin for viewers in the background flashing the infamous Mr. Kloss in the back. So, Patty, just reaction to the fact of, hey, Idaho has officially moved past that 10 win mark for the first time in half a decade.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot for, like, the comparison you always say, Idaho State football. Like, thinking of 1 year, it's not like this monumental giant turnaround, but the team feels like it's in the right direction. The team is,
The right what?
The right track, my bad.
Thank you.
They the beginning of the season, they started out, they looked good, and then the start of the conference season, they kind of hit a little bit down, but then they had the up that we've been, I don't know if we've been missing it with Kloss, but there was no excitement, there wasn't really that hope with a win. It was almost more of like a, oh, they won, but now it feels like, oh, they're building something, like something, a corner has turned has been a term that's been thrown around a lot this year. And so, I mean, yes, the second half of the season has been really fun to watch. And like, you feel like every game they have a chance versus the Kloss era. Like, you'd go to a game in the arena and you'd just be like, well, hopefully it's not 20 point blowout. Like, so that's been the biggest difference I've noticed in my second year here.
Yeah, so one just hitting 11 wins. Look, Alex Pribble, if you were on the show, he's not going to sit down and be like, guys, hey, that was the goal, 11 wins. Shut it down. That's what we came here for, 11 wins. That obviously, that's not where he's at. He wants to move on, just like all Vandals. He wants to shift into talking Big Sky Conference Championship. But phase one, get a bye in the first round. Phase one, finish in the top half of the conference. Hey, like, there are stages Idaho's going to move through. But I know, look, I'm going to say this out loud. We haven't said this on the show. Last year's team was more talented than this year's team, especially at the top end of the roster. Look, Isaac Jones is going to be first team all league in the Pac-12. Kind of big deal. And look, hey, Dom Ford, Southern Utah sucks, but Dom Ford's averaging about 18 points a game at Southern Utah this season. Idaho would kill to have those guys. So the top end talent that last year's team had, Idaho doesn't have this year. And the Vandals already have more wins. Their one win, they have more conference wins this season as well. Last year, the Vandals went 4-14 in conference. They're sitting at 5-10 right now. If Idaho can pick up another conference win, that would tie the best mark Kloss had in conference. But hey, if the Vandals snag two more conference wins somehow, that would be moving completely beyond that era. And we'll hit this later. Idaho hasn't won a Big Sky Conference tournament game since the 2016-2017 season. That's 6 seasons ago. So this is year 7 since then. So Idaho's got a chance to turn that around. So look, this Vandal team doesn't have the top, like I said, doesn't have the top end talent the last year's team had. They're deeper in the middle with, you know, a lot more solid role players, a lot of guys you're okay being out there. But that's more just evidence that, hey, the coaching matters. And Pribble's coaching the guys up. So hey, now we've talked about what the win meant. And to me, hey, it's a meaningful moral victory. I'm not obviously not settled on 11 wins, but if this is an Idaho State style rebuild, then you have to acknowledge the wins that are happening. Got to talk about the games. So to me, what we saw in the actual games, Northern Colorado, again, lost Northern Colorado, beat Northern Arizona. We saw the worst of Idaho against Northern Colorado, saw some of the best of Idaho, especially after 10 minutes in against Northern Arizona. So what was the issue with Northern Colorado? Well, the main issue is that Northern Colorado, like I believe they're the worst matchup for Idaho in the Big Sky. And the issue is Northern Colorado, they're right up there with Eastern. The Eastern and Northern Colorado kind of rotate whoever's the top scoring team in conference right now. Eastern's narrowly above Northern Colorado. They both average over 81 points a game. Eastern's 81.4, Northern Colorado's 81.3. And the issue for Idaho with matching up with Northern Colorado is there's just too much perimeter scoring for this Vandal team to hang on against the Bears. I mean, if you look through the contributions, I already talked about St. Thomas, but he scores about 20 points against everyone. Brock Wisney beat Idaho up for 19 points, but then off the bench, there was DeJour. I'm sure I said that name, DeJour Reeves, 13 points. He hurt Idaho the first time. But the issue is, look, if Idaho's going to score 62 points, they're going to have to just have an elite defensive effort to keep the game competitive. No team is holding Northern Colorado to around 60-ish points. They just score too well. So that's the issue. Idaho looked a little bit like they did in that 8-game losing streak, whereas the Bears started to score. Idaho just did not have the ability to push back offensively. And hey, Vandal shot 38.6%. Hard to win games when that's what you shoot. Northern Colorado was 51.8%. There you go. Then the Northern Arizona game, Patty, I'll throw it back to you in a second. Northern Arizona started out ugly, absolutely ugly. Idaho trailed by 15 early against NAU, but then Idaho rebounded, ended up winning by double, you know, again, 10 points. Quinn Danker, huge in both these games, which, you know, he, with D'Angelo Minnis out, his Danker's role changes. And what looked like his save last week, or 2 weeks ago, Danker was pressing a little bit too much, trying to make the offense happen too much. He settled down, let the offense come to him. Shooting percentage slams right way back up to around that 50-ish percent, which you want to see. But then he also, again, picked up 7 assists against NAU. That production we got out of EJ Neal, where he's able to get to the rim. He's the only Vandal who gets in stride layups off the drives. He was more productive against NAU. We also got better production out of Julius Mims, 15 points from Mims, 7 points from Rose. Hardy, like I said, 10 points off the bench. And I say that because, hey, the other issue with the Northern Colorado game is Northern Colorado kind of has a blueprint for beating Idaho, I think, the Big Sky Conference tournament, which is plug the middle, do not help much off penetration. Try to make sure Idaho doesn't get that 25 to 28 points out of their post players and make the Vandal wings beat you. And if you can score, the Vandal wings just won't beat you because there's no all Big Sky talent on the team. NAU wasn't able to do that. Plus, so Idaho got that post production, like I said, across about 3-4 guys, which then opened up wing spots. But that's, hey, those are my broad takeaways. Patty, what did you see out of the two games that stood out to you?
I had similar takeaways, particularly in the NAU game. The offensively, it just felt a lot more balanced. I feel like sometimes with this Idaho team, it would be one guy has, you know, 16 to 20 points, and then it's like 0, 0, 0, 9, 0, 0, 4, like not very balanced scoring. And then in this NAU game, we had what, 4 guys in double figures, 2 guys with 8 points. Like the ball is being scored by multiple guys. It doesn't allow the defense to key in on one guy, which just, it helps everything and helps an offense run much better.
Which, hey, pause real quick, throw it right back. Which is important for Idaho because Idaho doesn't have, I don't think Idaho has an all big sky guy on the team, except for maybe Julius Mims out of the post spot. And Julius Mims is a great opportunistic scorer who, like, hey, you want to throw to him in the post a little bit, but for the most part, you want him to get his points off of putbacks, roll into the hoop for those oops, and wide open catch and shoot threes, the wide open catch and shoot threes being the last option. You like maybe get it to him a little bit in back to the basket situations, but his efficiency drops significantly when he's scoring that way because he just doesn't have the footwork or the physicality to really back guys down. That's just not his strength. But hey, he can jump as good as anyone in the conference, so he has his ways of getting points. But you just don't want to be like, hey, like Idaho State is with Brain Parker. You don't do that with Julius Mims where you have him settle up on the left block and get him 20 touches. That's just not how it works. But reason I say that, Patty, to back up what you're saying, is if Idaho doesn't have really a take over the game, Danker had, to me, his two best games of the year this last week. So congrats. I mean, great for Danker, but that means for the other wins Idaho's had, that isn't exactly how the script has gone. So broadly, Idaho needs piecemeal production out of the wings, but they need it out of that like 3 to 4 guys. That's how the Vandals can get to that 75, 76 points. They're going to get to that many points. That's a different team we're talking about.
Yeah. Particularly Chris Gonzalez and EJ Neal, these last couple of games have been...
Can we just say Christian Gonzalez to avoid confusion?
Christian, my bad. Christian with a K, I should say. Anyways.
The guy who doesn't coach volleyball.
Yeah, yeah. But they've both had better games shooting the ball from outside, and I feel like that's part of what has allowed those post guys to succeed more because I think like earlier in the season it felt like they were really slow. Opponents were pretty slow to rotate onto a wing on the backside versus now they're having to close out a little harder and it's opening up more of those inside looks for Juice, for, Rose and the other post players. Frank had a solid game versus NAU and versus Northern Colorado. So it just the overall balance has opened everything up offensively much better than what it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and hey, the reason I'm bringing that piecemeal contribution up is, look, Idaho needs contribution like that to get to that 80-ish points a game because, look, the Vandals are not Eastern. They don't have that talent. The Vandals are not Northern Colorado. They don't have that many scores. Idaho, on the conference season, they're the number 9 scoring team in the Big Sky, averaging 67 points per game. The Vandals have hit over 80 points. I'm not counting the non-D1 games because of those. I know they count as wins, but for the analysis we do on the show, we universally do not give a shit about sub-D1 games. So subtract those. The Vandals have hit over 84 times on the entire season, not just conference season, entire season. One of those was over NAU, but that is just the recipe for this Vandal team. Look, obviously, if Idaho wins, they're outscoring the other team. But as far as describing how Idaho wins games, they do not, in their 10 wins, persistently do that because they are just scoring so much the other team can't keep up. Mostly, Idaho is a defense-first team who they need to score enough. And if they're going to score enough, it's going to come from piecemeal contribution out of they got to get that 25-ish points from a lot of this eight-game stretch of being a very solid Big Sky team going 4-4 in those 8 games. Idaho's been getting around 30-ish points out of mostly Kyson Rose and Julius Mims. But hey, like if Taryn Frank can be a guy who chips in 8, if Tekai Hardy, like a best D1 game of his career, which means we don't expect 10 points a game every time, but if he can start to add points, that's how Idaho can become the type of team that Big Sky opponents don't really want to see in the Big Sky Conference tournament. So we're going to shift into talking about the coming 3 games because Idaho has 3 games on the season. Crazy to think that this season's almost over. Which I know this is always a theme when you're into sports because like, hey, football season just flew by. Basketball season's flown by in a different way. But look, we're going to shift over because we got to talk about the games to come and what that means for the conference tournament. Before that, one, got to hit the comment section. We've got scrolling back, guys, and forgive me. We have Christy Mayer agreeing with discussion about Nick Davis earlier, saying, hey, Nick is the bomb. Tom Kendall, I got the pleasure to sit at the same table as Nick and his wife. His work is awesome. Christy Mayer, Nick's doing up some Hydro Flask for our summer staff again this year. Love getting quality work and supporting his school / FFA program at the same time. Thanks, Nick. Captain 58 talking about the rebuild of Vandal basketball. Way bigger rebuild for Pribble than what Eck had to work with. The record might not be a huge step, but the attitude is a full 180, which, hey, let's talk about that for a second before we shift. Because I think the NAU game, if you're a guy who's looking at the Vandal record, Patty, of 11 wins, again, we're not pretending that's some home run, but you're saying like, okay, well, 11 wins, that's, it's better than last year with Klaus, but like, hey, what's the big deal? Why are you excited? I'd point to the NAU game as a great example of, hey, Idaho started out sluggish. Pribble actually got a T. I feel like that was a purposeful technical he got in that first half. And the team rebounded from getting in their own way to executing the kind of game plan you need. It was a 25-point swing there. Down 15, the team won by 10. We didn't see that type of in-game adjustment the last half decade. So that's part of why, if you're listening, you're saying like, hey, well, 11 wins, who gives a shit? That's what we care about, is the evidence in front of us, what actually happens. It's year one. We'll take whatever win we get. That's just where Idaho is. But moving on from Captain 58, Tom Kendall, Danker has turned up his game, not making as many mistakes. Agreed, especially the last two. Simon Miller, I'm looking forward to a Pribble postseason vibe. We'll get there, Simon. Captain 58, ZC won 10 games with a Pac-12 all conference player on the squad. Pribble beat that with role players and tons of injuries. That's another thing to bring up, man. Good Lord. At one point in the NAU game, looked like Idaho might be down four starters after we had. So Mims is out. D'Angelo Minnis is out. Unclear when he's going to be back. Tyler Morris is done for the year. Tyler Lindhart probably done for the year. And then with Minnis out, then Christian Gonzalez turns his ankle. Looks like he might be out. That's four starters, guys. There's not that many guys left on the team to play. And this deep in the season, Idaho's not burning any red shirts. Side note, if team wins 11 games and dudes are redshirting, it's because they should. So moving on from Simon, moving on down, Simon Miller says, Mims is the way. Tom Kendall, good to see Hardy contribute the NAU game. Jason Mayer, ISU's Parker equals Sasquatch of the week. He's Big Sky Conference Player of the Week. Duffer's Tavern, making sure we know. Hey, just FYI, saying the bad word that is ZC gets you 50 cents off shots, not 50%.
What is the bad word?
I think Duffer's is saying the bad word is Zach Kloss. I could be wrong. I don't know for a fact he means Zach Kloss, but I think he means Zach Kloss. I think that's $1.50. So, moving on from there, hey, we got to talk about the other games in future. Patty's been on the shelf for a while. Before that, we got to talk about something else that's going right in the Vandal sphere, which is Hughes River Expedition. Look, if you're the kind of person, you want to go, you want to see the great outdoors, you want to spend time with your family, you want to go on the kind of trip you're going to talk about for the rest of your life, get a hold of Colin. His crew can take you on multi-day trips down the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the main Salmon River, no return. Salmon River Canyon's a sellway. They've got special trips like the one to see the Persead Meteor Shower. Look, you get to camp outside on pristine beaches. You get to see some rapids. It doesn't matter if you're a family and you just want to have the, you want to join on to a bigger trip, or if you, this, or if you're part of a bigger organization, you want it as team building, or you're just a big group and this is how you schedule it. Colin takes care of all group sizes. Just get a hold of him. 800-262-1882 or 406-540-4450, or just go to HughesRiver.com. He'll take care of it. So, Patty, Idaho's got three games. They're playing for their Big Sky Conference tournament seeding right now. If the tournament started today, Idaho would be the number 9 seed playing number 10 Sacramento State. The other first round game right now is Portland State and Northern Arizona. Idaho is one game behind NAU, 1.5 behind Portland State. And the week we have coming up is Montana State Thursday, Montana for senior night, and then Monday, March 4th, final game of the season at top 5 Portland State. So, Patty, what are you looking for in the next three games?
I would love to see you got to pick off at least one of these games and hopefully two. I'm not going to sit here and expect a three-game sweep because these, I mean, Montana State, they're middle of the pack, but they're a team that can beat pretty much anyone in the Big Sky, as we saw in February when they beat Eastern. And
they can beat anyone and lose to anyone.
It's very true. I mean, and I think that's the same for Montana, honestly. I think Montana, it really just depends on how they're shooting. Same with Portland State. It kind of just depends on how they're shooting. So I really like Idaho's chances to pick one or two of these things off. And Idaho's playing some good basketball. Montana State, I believe they've lost like five of their last six games coming off of that Eastern Washington win. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things to look and a lot of excitement if you're a Vandal fan. That, like, there's some opportunities this next three games.
Yeah, so phase one. Okay, so Idaho does control its destiny to an extent. So if Idaho's going to lose games, they're going to be the 9 or 10 seed. That's just how it works. But Idaho... I want to talk about Montana State first, because look, for Idaho to move up, someone else has to move down. And you brought it up. Idaho's playing some of their best basketball to close the season. Montana State, they are playing their worst basketball to close the season. And if you want to look at a team ready to face plant, you already brought up, hey, the Bobcats lost five of their last six, including a home loss to last place Sacramento State. Well, look, Idaho already beat Montana State in Bozeman. By six. It was a competitive game, but hey, Idaho won, not a one-score game. Montana State closes with Idaho, Eastern, and Weber State. It is 100% on the table for MSU to go 0-3 in that run, and I think best-case scenario is 1-2, because I feel like Weber State's kind of got it together in a way they didn't earlier in the year. Eastern knows that they're a team, because especially how last season finished and, you know, a couple losses. Look, Eastern's still number one conference, but they've had a couple losses that David Riley would say. Now, the Eagles had no business losing those games. They're going to be I think you're going to see increased focus out of number one Eastern Washington too. So phase one, the Bobcats, I'm sorry to say this, Ron Lowney, in the comment section, the Bobcats are ready to face plant. I do not think Montana State's going to finish outside of the first round bye. Just look at the other teams too, because if Montana State's playing all, like, you know, two of their last three against some of the tougher teams, well, that means other teams playing weaker teams. Like Duffer's Tavern said, didn't Montana State lose to Rocky Mountain School or the Blind or something like that? Montana Tech, but close enough, Duffers. So that phase one, that's what I'm looking at with Montana State. They're a team ripe for the picking. Montana, the Grizz, who Idaho plays on Saturday, they're just kind of notorious for playing up to better teams than down to lower teams. That's just how they've been with Travis DeCure for a while. But it's important to not write off the Grizz as a whole. They're the number three team in conference. They're 10-5 in league. They're tied for second place. They lose the tiebreaker with Northern Colorado. But the Grizz are a good basketball team. They've got 19 wins. They're gonna beat 20 wins for the first time since they made the NCAA tournament in back-to-back seasons. Idaho's been competitive with everyone, but like that to me is the toughest matchup Idaho has left out of these final three. But then look at Portland State, because we're talking seeding. Portland State has two games left. Sacramento State, who, hey, probably a win, and then Idaho. So look, if Idaho's gonna advance out of that bottom four, there's no way around it. That worst case scenario, they can go 2-1, get lucky. If Idaho goes 3-0, there's a very reasonable chance that the Vandals could move either to out of the bottom four or into that number seven spot. So hey, Portland State's a team to look at to me as well. Of the three games, Montana worries me the most. Portland State does not worry me quite as much. The Vikings are a very up and down team. They also like Montana. I know people are going to get PTSD in the comment section. Portland State fouls a shit ton. Their games are frustrating to watch because they correctly get called for lots of fouls. Not saying the refs are perfect. Big Sky Conference refs aren't. But hey, look at this level. Have you, Patty, seen a blown layup this season?
I have, yes. Okay. I've seen a couple.
Okay. If you're playing at a level where players can still blow layups once in a while, hey, refs are going to blow calls. That's just how the game works. But the must wins to me, Patty, are Montana State, Portland State. And look, hey, Idaho even playing well in their last eight, they're 4-4. That's a 500 team. So I wouldn't at this point gamble the Vandals going 3-0, their final three. But if the Vandals are going to make some noise at all in the seeding of the tournament itself, have to beat Montana State, have to beat Portland State, and then do your best against Montana. Your thoughts on like how you feel about the individual games, which you feel safest about, which you feel least.
I'm pretty similar to you. Montana State's the one where I'm not sure, because they're kind of a weird matchup where they're like, I don't know if they're necessarily guard heavy, but they don't really have like a true big guy, dominant guy that's going to defend. They don't have multiple guys that would guard like a Juice and a Rose if they're both on the floor at the same time. But they also have some of the best perimeter defense in the conference with, you know, Robert Ford's a guy, he has like 40 steals in the conference season. And their other guard, I cannot remember his name to save the life of me, but number three, he's also a really good perimeter defender that's really good at poking the ball out. So it's kind of a weird matchup that I'm not totally sure how it would go. Montana, I think it's one of those games that just
you're thinking Eddie Turner.
Yes. Eddie Turner, Montana. It's one of those games where it just kind of depends on how they're shooting. And I mean, if I was putting money on a spread, I would expect this to be a close game, most likely, especially, you know, being in Moscow. But you never know with Montana. Sometimes they shoot something ridiculous, like 50% from three, and then sometimes they shoot 20% and score 40 points. Shout out to that Portland State loss. Then, speaking of top five, Portland State, again, it's kind of like the Montana State game where I don't know exactly, but I'm feeling pretty good about the Vandals' chances in that one. They played them so tough early in the season when Idaho wasn't really playing their best basketball, and Portland State, I mean, maybe not that exact game they were playing their best basketball, but just before that, they were playing pretty good basketball on their out-of-conference schedule. So I don't know. I like the Idaho's chances of going 2-1, but it's definitely not off the table to go 1-2 or 3-0.
No, so both Portland State and Montana State are teams where Idaho was able to get pretty good post productions. In the Montana State win, there's 13 points out of Kyson Rose, 15 points out of Mims, 12 points from Taryn Frank off the bench. Then Portland State, now this is a while back. I mean, Portland State was kind of Tyler Linhart's coming out party, where there's 18 points for Linhart off the bench, 12 points for Kyson Rose, only two out of Julius Mims. He sat a ton with foul trouble. But as you're seeing, hey, both those games are games Idaho was able to get about close to half their points out of the post, which then makes the burden on the guards a little bit lesser. Montana, to me, they're just a different animal to me. Travis DeCure's teams always do play tough. And the Grizz have a few shooters too. You know, I mean, the Grizz tried to lose the Portland State game and they were not able to. They're a little bit more senior heavy. They're a team that is not, they have transfers that supplement the roster, but they've got quite a few upperclassmen who've been at Montana for a while. So they're the most stable out of that crew. But hey, that's the basic preview of what we have coming in the next week for Idaho. But now, hey, I want to shift this directly to conference tournament talk, because one of the moral victories for Idaho this season, Patty, that we're looking at, one of the boxes to check, and you're one of Pribble of, has shown advancement in the program, is picking up a Big Sky Conference win, tournament win. The thing I want to point out, and this has just been part of the visceral frustration. If you're a longtime listener, you know about this show from basketball seasons the last half decade, is Idaho in Boise. That is a de facto home court game. As in, if people are, if Idaho is motivating fans to pay attention, that's going to be a Vandal friendly crowd. There's no city in America with more Vandal alums than Boise. And that's where the Big Sky Conference tournament is right now. Idaho has exactly zero wins in the half decade that the Big Sky Conference tournament has been played in Boise. So box to check, pick up a win in the Big Sky Conference tournament. Hasn't happened for Idaho since the 2016-2017 season overall. And again, no wins in Boise in that time. So Patty, here's the thing I want to throw to you. Here's a scenario. Not exactly doomsday. But because the doomsday scenario is Idaho kind of struggles out these final three games, and they're in that 9-10 matchup with Sacramento State. Idaho's 2-0 against Sacramento State. So I feel pretty safe about Idaho round one against Sacramento State, even if Idaho looks like they're face planting out, you know, to close out the season. I don't think they are. I just think the team's pretty solid. There's just a limitation on the top end performance based off of what we already discussed talent-wise. But that's a simple thing to understand, is if Idaho's in a first round matchup with Sacramento State, there's no option other than Vandals got to get a win. And hey, we checked the Big Sky Conference tournament box there. But the other options are if Idaho advances out of that 9-10 game, or if Idaho is, you know, hey, everything falls together and the Vandals get a bye. If the Vandals were able to get a bye, they would undoubtedly be the number 6 seed, which would have them matched up with the number 3 team in conference right now, which looks like that's going to finish out as either Montana or Northern Colorado. So question for you, Patty. Let's pretend you're a Vandal, because you are. I don't care about the other show you host. Would you rather Idaho gets out, Idaho runs the table and gets some help, they're the number 6 seed, but they're playing the Grizz round one, or Idaho sticks in the first round and maybe moves up into that 7-8 game?
I think it just depends on the matchup.
Well, we can speculate on the matchup though, because look, we know who the 10 matchup is SAC. Yep. The first round matchup, if Idaho is out of 9-10, it's going to be some grouping of either NAU, PSU, top 5 Portland State, or Montana State. That's essentially the only theoretical options of who could be in that game. So with that said, first round as 7 or 8, or in getting a bye and opening with Montana or Northern Colorado?
In terms of just getting a win, I would probably rather play one of the lower seeds, obviously. But just, you know, thinking more thinking of advancement in the tournament, obviously you want to be that higher seed. It would probably be more of a meaningful win if you knock off the 3 seed as a 6 seed. You know, it kind of like what Jason's saying. As a competitive sports fan, I guess, of course I want the higher seed, but if you're looking at this in terms of advancing, I don't know if the matchups are actually more beneficial as a 6 seed than they are as a little bit of a lower seed.
I'm going to rephrase this, because I know what, like, hey, you're doing a thing I do. You want to be like, you want to be correct in what you're talking about. That's cool. So like, let me rephrase this. What do you think is better for Idaho? So you got to, this is not like, hey, advancement of the tournament. No. What is better for this Idaho basketball program, to have a higher seed but pick up a win in the first round, or to earn a first round bye but potentially have one of the worst matchups in the league for your first tournament game?
Yeah, no, I'm taking the Big Sky win, the Big Sky tournament win, in terms of building this program and building the culture. Just having the first one under the belt in Boise would would be huge for the Idaho basketball program.
Yeah, I'm with you. Of as much as I want to hype getting a first round bye, and that is a meaningful metric for development, of picking up that, for earning a bye for the first time. That's a big deal. I want Idaho to leave Boise with at least one conference win, and I think the most likely route to that is being in those first round games. Which is to say, I guess that means I'm rooting for Idaho to go 2-1 in these next 3 games and stay in that first round grouping. So now a follow-up question, you and I both agree, we want Idaho to pick up a win. We think the legitimacy of a win during the conference tournament matters more than the legitimacy of a bye, which might then be followed up with a loss. So of the potential teams, not talking SAC, because SAC is number 10, so Idaho's only going to play SAC if they go, you know, 1-2, probably in this batch of games, because someone is likely to fall based off who Idaho plays as well. who would you rather see Idaho? Who would you rather see Idaho play in the first round out of Montana State, NAU, or Portland State?
I'm hesitant to say NAU, even though that's the choice that I would probably say personally, just from PTSD from last year and Eastern losing to NAU in the tournament in their first game. But anyways, I think Montana State might be the one I would pick out of those teams right now, but I don't know, just part of me doesn't think they'll finish there. I'm going to say NAU, and the reason I'm not really touching Portland State is because they just scare me, and they're a team that I feel like just every once in a while they'll randomly score 90 points, and just, I don't know, dumb luck tells me it would be, of course, the time Idaho plays them in the conference tournament that they randomly go off for 90 points. So I would personally pick NAU out of that grouping. And if Montana State was there, I'd go Montana State. I don't know. I think they'll be able to finish out of the first grouping, but you know, we'll see.
What I think scares you about NAU and should scare you about NAU is not NAU. What scares you about Portland State and what should scare you about Portland State is, I think the Vikings have underperformed on this season relative to the talent they have. Look, this is a team that beat Northern Colorado, who again, Northern Colorado kicked Idaho's ass twice because the matchup's terrible and they're pretty good. Well, hey, Portland State beat Northern Colorado earlier in the year. Portland State also, we have some share. There are some shared opponents. Portland State only lost to top 25 Washington State earlier in the year by 10. They only lost to St. Thomas, a team that handily beat Idaho in Moscow, only lost to St. Thomas by 6 points. And
they also like blew out Montana earlier this year too. They've had so many of these games where they just like blow out the good teams and then they lose to kind of a...
Oh yeah, Montana shit the bed in that 72-46 game. But then, hey, Montana just beat Portland State by 9 in a game they should have won by 29. But that's the Vikings, is they do have some talent. They do have some size. They don't always press like they did previously, but Idaho, jury's in. Idaho doesn't have the best ball handlers to handle press. So I'm with you. Portland's of the three teams we've talked about, if there's one I'm throwing out that I don't want to touch, it's Portland State. But I feel that Northern Arizona, hey, Tom Kendall comment section says he wants NAU. Colin Hughes says, whatever it takes to win a tourney game, we need to pop that cherry. 100%. Jason Mayer agrees with what we said. It's like, hey, take the play in the first round, get a win. That's the big deal you care about. I think Northern Arizona and Montana State, forgive me for this colloquialism I'm about to use, guys. So if you got kids, just cover their ears for a second. Those two teams are in a contest right now for who can trip on their dick the most on the way out the season. So we already talked about Montana State. Very good chance Montana State loses 9 of their last 10 or 8 of their last 9, whatever. But look, Northern Arizona had a mini run early of, look, they won 3 out of 4 before the Idaho game, beating Montana State, Sac State, losing to Portland State, then beating Eastern on one of Eastern's worst runs of the season. But to close out, there's the loss to Idaho. NAU travels to Idaho State, who they already lost to Idaho State once. They're going to lose to Weber, and they're going to lose to Northern Colorado. So look, NAU could also be, realistically should be closing the season, or has a very good chance of closing the season on a 4-game losing streak. So phase one, I want someone with negative momentum for a fact. But of the two teams, I'd rather it be NAU. I have much more faith in first-year coach Matt Logie at Montana State, who, look, he's in a complete rebuild too, and his team's solid, around 500 basketball, than I do Shane Burkar, who's been at Northern Arizona for about, this is like his fourth or fifth season, and the team's still underwater. Yes, they had that big tournament run, but I got to tell you, the whole roster's not back. Jalen Cohn's gone. And talent-wise, Northern Arizona, I don't find to be that superior to Idaho. They just do have, they have a bit more shooting is the issue to me. Because look, Idaho just doesn't have a guy. Look, they have Oakland forward, who's not like the best scorer in the league, but he absolutely can create a shot. Idaho doesn't exactly have a guy like that. But the biggest issue to me, you look at Northern Arizona, is they got a guy like Trent McLaughlin, who he's averaging just under 17 points a game on the season, but he can be an electric shooter. Idaho doesn't have a guy like that. Like, hey, that part's scary. But if you look at the rest of the talent of NAU, I'm not really concerned with the matchups, and I don't find it favorable to Idaho. So I'm going to co-sign Tom Kendall of first round games, what I want. And if Idaho's not going to play Sacramento State, which I think we both agree, like, hey, we kind of don't want Idaho to finish 9, because that probably means they close the season out going 1-2. NAU is the team I'm circling as wanting Idaho to play in Boise.
I think me too. I'm leaning towards NAU over Montana State.
Yeah, I, again, like Shane Burkar, he's been at NAU for a while. He's built what he's going to build at NAU. I don't know how much longer he's going to be there. But Matt Logie came from a successful program. And hey, Colin Houston, NAU's Carson Tout hasn't been playing either. I think that's the team we want. Matt Logie came from Point Loma, same place that Ryan Loon. It's just a funny story for Matt Logie out of he came to Montana State from Point Loma, Division II in San Diego. That's where Ryan Looney coached as well. Ryan Looney made a D2 championship there. It's just weird that Looney parlayed that exact same position, building the program, into Idaho State. Matt Logie continued the success and parlayed that into the better job at Montana State. But whatever timing matters, you take the jobs that you're offered and you run with it. Idaho State's happy with the job Ryan Looney's done. He just received a contract extension, just like Cody Hawkins got a renegotiated contract after 1 year. It's the same five years with different terms. But Idaho State's a different world than other schools, and that's just it. That's what Pocatello is. So, hey, we're essentially done with our basketball talk. I'm sure you and Martin are going to have another women's update at some point, but any other basketball points you want to hit on before we close it out?
No, I just, everyone better get down here for senior day, because it's always fun to play the Grizz. And if there's a sliver of a chance of beating the Grizz and potentially giving them an 0-2 end of their season, like, come on, like, you gotta do that to the Grizz.
Who would give them that 0-2? Did you preview in any episode? Did you preview any games on a different show we typically don't talk about here?
I did, actually. It releases Eagles Power Hour. I did my Montana State and Sac State preview recorded today. It'll be released Wednesday morning, if anyone cares.
They do. I mean, hey, I listen to other Big Sky shows because that's the sport. This is the level I care about. Full disclosure, guys, with college basketball, I essentially pretend the season ends after the Big Sky Conference tournament. Like, I kind of pay attention to the NCAA thing, but I don't pay attention to recording the show. Like, I pay attention to Big Sky sports. I don't know enough about the other teams to really give that much of a shit, other than I know who I root against. So, okay, Martin, I'm going to pull you in for a second. You got to answer the same damn question before we leave. You want Idaho in the first, you want Idaho to get a bye or play in the first round? And who do you hope Idaho plays in the first round?
I kind of want to say NAU, but I'm going to go be different and say Sac State, just because.
You want the win.
Yeah, I want the win.
You just want the for sure win.
I want the win, and then I want to be able to come back on the show or be in the Discord, hashtag only Tubbs, patreon.com/tubbsattheclub.
That's the online discussion for Vandy Sports that exists.
And be able to either talk trash to Patty and when they beat Eastern in round two, or I can talk trash to my coworker who's also a diehard Eastern fan who also listens to the Eagle Power Hour, I believe, and talk trash with him after they beat Eastern too in round two. I would love nothing more than to beat Eastern.
I'm actually really glad you brought that part up, Martin, because that is something I missed just hitting the first round. So I like, hey, phase one, we just want the win. Sac State feels like the easiest win, but I would like Idaho to finish. Maybe the best world is Idaho goes 2-1 the last couple games, but they don't get the help to get out of 9. So we get the positive momentum, but then we get the best matchup. But second round, if Idaho moves to that 7-8 matchup, if Idaho wins, they got Northern today, they would have Northern Colorado if the tournament began today. That's who they'd be playing, which is, to me, uniquely. I just think Idaho matches up significantly worse with Northern Colorado than Idaho does with Eastern, you know, relative to us. UNC feels almost exclusively strength on weakness for the Vandals, whereas the weaknesses of Eastern are very similar to the weaknesses of Idaho, which is like they don't have a ton of dribble penetration. They don't have a ton of shot creators. What they have that Idaho doesn't have is better size, better athleticism, more shooting. But the style both teams play is relatively similar. So I think that's part of why the Idaho Eastern games have been competitive the way they have, whereas Idaho's gotten their ass kicked against Northern Colorado both times. But thank you for bringing that part up, Martin. But hey, we're going to see. We got the games coming up. Like Martin said, help support the show, patreon.com/tubstheclub to join the hashtag only tub Discord, the best. And I said that unequivocally. It's the other online Vandal discussion is not remotely as fun, moving, productive. We are
fucking fun.
Exactly. Like Martin. Gosh, dang it. Like Martin said, it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more active in the Discord than anywhere else online, especially game time. A lot of explosion takes place there. Costs as little as a cup of coffee a month to join. Although I got to say my piece all the time. If you want to give the show more than a cup of coffee, good God, we're not going to stop you and we will love you for it. So patreon.com/tubstheclub. With that said, it's time to call it a night. Patty, thanks for coming on. Thanks for repping the school you go to. Martin, as always, you're going to play us out. I have a theory. I know a clip we're about to hear a couple times. So Jason Mayer saying Discord is a secret sauce. Colin Hughes saying, dag nabbit, Martin. Simon Miller, Discord is the cat's ass. That is a way to describe it, Simon. Thank you. That is a way to describe it. But Martin, I'll let you take it away. We know the direction we're going. Go Vandals.
Go Vandals.
I'm not saying it. Screw you. Go Vandals. Go Vandals. Go Vandals. Go Vandals. Go Vandals.
This Come on. Is producer Brian doing a terrible job of even finding what we're going to play us out with. So I'm just going... We're just going to call it good. See you guys Tuesday. Motherfucker.
Go Vandals.